Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
It has been a while since we have done impromptu practice coaching sessions live. So we thought it was time to revisit that opportunity for us to maybe find ways to hold on to what really was going well for us throughout the summer and how we can carry more of that into the fall as we transition with all of the back to school things and this just the natural transition of the weather and the seasons. And so for today, we are going to do a quick 15-minute session for each of us. And for the coach is going to really focus on helping the individual hang on to and find ways to have more of what is going well in their lives. And so we'll just jump right in and get started. So we're going to transition now to LaShawn being the coach, and I am going to be her client for a 15-minute session, and I'll turn it over to LaShawn now.
Hi. Okay. So Erin, it's great to talk to you today about good things that are happening in your life and how to keep that going. What are some good things that are happening right now?
I think mental stimulation. I was just at the book fair in Castle Rock, and it was really inspiring to be around other authors and see all these amazing old and rare books and have conversations with those bookshop owners as well. Everything there felt so inspiring in that way. So I think that's one thing that has gone well that I'd like to find ways to hang on to in the future. Additionally, more movement in my life. I've gotten back to running a little bit, and that's been going fairly well too. And then finally, I think just all of the relationships and the people that I'm meeting along the journey, I have found that to be very engaging in a way that helps me grow in my whole mind, body, soul, as well as helping me to grow professionally too. So those are things at the front of mind that are at the front of my mind that seem to be going well.
When those things are going well, can you just describe the feelings that you feel when you're in those moments?
Yeah, I feel very connected and embodied and present. And in some of them, I feel intellectually stimulated, while others, I feel just kind of that sense of being free when running. So they give a little bit of lightness to my life. Even the heavy intellectualized topics, I've always just really enjoyed discussing those with whether it's fellow authors or just really anyone. So that feeling of my brain being mentally stimulated, that I'm engaging in a learning process, that feels very fulfilling. And I feel happy and joyful to be a part of those conversations.
Sounds like you have a lot going on. And would you say that these experiences are happening organically, or are these intentional?
I think it's a blend of organic and intentional. The intentional being the part of signing up for these events or telling myself to find a way to get moving and start running again. I don't know. I think for me, it has been, I've had to be intentional, and then the organic process of it all flows, which sounds, when I say that aloud, it sounds a little bit too prescriptive. It's like, no, all this is organic. And I think that it is helpful when it is organic, but not necessarily any more so than when it is intentional. And, you know, I think the intentional piece is me setting aside time, deciding I'm going to put myself out there, trying something a little bit different, and just kind of letting the organic flow from there. So for me, it's intentional. I'm going to do the thing. That's the intention. And then whatever shows up in the space, being open to it has been really helpful.
Okay. So what I'm observing is a very clear picture of this, and I'm getting three things is what is showing up, the three things, the connection, the intellectual stimulation, and then also the movement, getting out and moving. Running is something that you mentioned. And so I think that these things can go, we can go in many directions here. But because of the clarity, just that it just seems so very clear what those three things are, I'm curious to know what our next steps would be in this conversation and where you would like to be at the end. We have about 9 minutes left.
You know, I still feel that theme of like, how do I have more of this? And so I feel like with the connection and the mental stimulation, those happen a little bit easier than the running. And so I'm wondering if there is a way for me to go back to, and I know we've talked about running on this podcast quite a bit with me, finding ways to include that more naturally. So I guess, you know, one of the opportunities that I'm considering is I'm going to be taking this weightlifting session course type thing. Maybe I can even just tie in some running directly with that before or after it. And that's how we can have more of it. And I do like that idea of being indoors because it's so hot, you know, and I don't like running in the heat. So I don't know. I guess that's where I feel like I'm being called to move in that direction.
Okay. So it sounds like you've already mapped out some action steps that you can do in terms of incorporating running in the weightlifting class that you're going to be taking soon. So, what feels more aligned? Continuing in the vein of those action steps, or another way to go, like we could do brainstorming, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think maybe taking a step back and doing more of like the values and different pieces connected to the running. Because I do see, now that I've said this a lot, a pretty clear step with the running is tying it directly to this other workout that I'm going to be doing anyway.
So
Like
what
the
more?
why. The why of why am I running?
Good question. What comes to mind?
Feeling healthier, longevity, stress relief. Maybe I need to write these down. What else? The question that comes up for me too, like, is the why a have to or a should to? Like, this has always been the easiest modality for me when it comes to working out. You know, maybe I can hold on to this concept of running a little more loosely, especially as I go into trying this new type of workout, which starts in September. And not be so necessarily wedded to the word run, but like just movement, getting movement in. I want to be a good example for my kids. I want to be a good partner. I want to be happy and healthy. And I think all of that goes back to that movement piece, that running for me. And I'm curious because that's always been kind of like the go-to when I've needed to adjust something or fix something in my life. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not just about running. Maybe there's something deeper there, maybe like this discontent of my body at 40, or like, I don't know, something like that.
It's interesting that you mentioned the movement, the stress relief, the being a good example to, or an example to your children, being a good partner, all of these different things that you value, and how you explored the possibility of separating running from that. What more can you say about that idea that has come up with the running as being separate, or maybe using a different mode, a different modality as opposed to running? What more can you say about that?
I think just that feeling that I get when I run helps me with those values that you just reflected back. And so, you know, movement in any kind of form, you know, walking and that sort of thing is going to help me with those values. And then how do I just have more of that? And throughout this season of fall, I think that's a challenge for me in some ways because summer looks a lot different for me than the fall does. But I think at the bottom line of a lot of this is like the self-belief and the confidence to say, maybe the question isn't like, I'm a good partner, good mother, da da da, but just the confidence and self-belief to just be content with who I am wherever I'm at throughout this process. And I think that takes some of the pressure off and at the same time, paradoxically helps me implement the new routines more fully too. So like really moving from that line of thinking that running is a punishment to running is a gift, or I'm okay without it too.
So, where do you see yourself increasing these feelings of self-acceptance, accepting where you are, and also incorporating that movement piece that's so important to you?
That the incorporating part's easy, the acceptance of where I am. That's always been a challenge for me because I've always been kind of someone who's goal driven or working towards something or learning something new or writing something new. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm very into productivity. So I guess just being mindful for me about accepting what, however a day goes, and not feeling like I could have done more or feeling like I should have done something, but just acquiescing to this was the day that I needed to do something different, and tomorrow I'll try something different. I don't know. I feel like a little bit of a tension there in some ways, about the acceptance of where I'm at. And part of that, maybe I don't fully have to accept where I'm at, because then that's what also helps with the motivation to do something different. If I was fully where I'm at, wouldn't feel motivated to do something different likely. So I'm like, what parts of it can I have acceptance, and what parts can I have like non-acceptance to stay motivated? So parts that I can have acceptance with, whatever I did in the day, being okay with who I am at the core of my values and self-belief. And then maybe for non-acceptance, some days where I'm not active enough, really finding ways to reflect on that and consider why, as well as when I'm doing well actively, why? What are the conditions that led to either of those? So just being self-reflective, I think, is going to help with that acceptance.
Okay, so is there a phrase, an image, something that you can kind of anchor onto to guide you and help you with that self-reflective piece?
I'm not getting a lot except for the stretchy bands and how they can sometimes stretch slowly, sometimes stretch fast for like the workout bands, sometimes in certain ways. So that could be a good image to be kind of ride the wave of the challenge I'm giving myself while being flexible with it too.
Yeah, I like that. The stretchy band, the wave, how waves move. How does that feel for you?
Good. I like having an image, even though I'm not like a big visual person. I like it. I like having it. Just one thing to latch onto for my mind, body, spirit, whole system to keep me centered and grounded throughout the process.
And so going forward, what could be a way for you to check in with yourself or to, make sure that you stay on this in this commitment to include motion and or movement and self-acceptance, which seems to be a very key thing as well.
I think it's the continuation of the process of this all through therapy or coaching, like having those conversations with an objective person who can help me stay on this pathway of the motivation while also having the self-acceptance piece. I think for me that's going to be key.
Okay. All right. And is there anything that you would like to touch on before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think I'll just check in with you again and start from there. I think as the process unfolds, I'll have more to say.
Sounds
But
good.
it does feel good to try to find ways to continue things that are going well in my life. And, trying to think about like, do you have to be so intentional about that? And I think it can be helpful to have some level of intentionality around it.
And do you feel complete?
Yes, this was great.
Okay.
Thank you, LaShawn. I
Yeah.
really appreciate how you held space and the questions that you asked and the how well you facilitated a coaching appointment in a short amount of time.
Yeah. We went a little bit over 15 minutes, but I with my coaching sessions, I tend to like, okay, so I can, it's a little bit of wiggle room to make sure that we can kind of click complete it and So yeah, we'll check in.
How was that for you as the coach?
As a coach, coaching a coach, my goodness, just sit back and the guidance is there, since you have those you're kind of coaching yourself and me as a coach, I'm taking on this role of, what we do as coaches is seeing what's not said, asking those questions, making sure that the client is the lead and not taking on too much of the work and not speaking too much. But in the condensed time period, it is a bit of a challenge, which is great. I love that about these type of exercises. So it really encourages you to hone in and be present and allow whatever happens happen and not be so tempted to control, to control what things are happening. Just be like, oh, just see what happens, what unfolds. And then also wanting to hold on to something meaningful for you. How was it for you as a client? What was your experience?
It was good. It was really nice to be able to articulate aloud, like the self-acceptance piece, which is underlying a lot of these motivations that I need to continue to examine. All right. Well, I guess we can switch roles and we can get started whenever you feel ready to process what is something that's going well or a few things that are going well that you want to hang on to in this transition season.
Yeah, so one thing that comes to mind is, and although it's just been like really technically 3 or 4 school days that we've had since school started, my husband and I have been really determined to make sure that our kids have the support they need and the structure they need in order to do well in the school. So, what has gone really well in that endeavor has been being consistent with my son. His homework is very simple. He's in 4th grade. His homework is very simple: read 20 minutes every day. And so, in the time that he's been back in school, I have made a point of before bed, he and I read for 20 minutes. And what I've found in this is that it's really encouraging me to have that time with my son and also to create that structure for him so that he can continue in that habit. So really wanting to just hold on to that and make sure that continues. And with my daughter, she's in high school and this is her 2nd year in high school and she's had some struggles. She struggles emotionally. She's got chronic pain and she's dealing with a lot. My husband and I have decided to do is just, well, we had a meeting with her team at the high school right away. So that was something I like that we started right away with a plan. And we added to that plan because she has a tendency, the other day she had a really, really, really tough night. And then the day after that, I talked to her and she said, I'm feeling this way and I don't think I should go to school. And I told her, hon, I understand that you're struggling, but we need to make sure that you're not motivated by pain avoidance or that you're motivated by wanting something. And it's really important that when you're in these low moods and you're feeling despairing, that you're surrounded by people and that you are doing things. You don't want to just shut down. So you're going to school. I know it's hard. I understand it's hard, but you're going to school. And one thing that I want to do more of is encourage her to do challenging and things that are uncomfortable. I want to challenge her and I want to support her, but at the same time, I don't want to enable or coddle. So I'm seeing in this new way of responding to her desire to stay home, her desire to stay away from things that are painful and difficult and uncomfortable, just to say, this is what I think is best for you. Let's try it, and not be like, you're going to do this, but being very consistent in that. And so last night, my husband and I decided that we were going to give her one free day, one free mental health day a semester, because she's going to miss days because of she's going through some medical stuff. So she has some appointments that she has to go to. So she's going to miss days in school. And so we're like, we're going to give you one day a semester. And that was really great. It gave me a feeling of, I felt like I was giving her a choice. Choice is really important. So giving her a choice. And then I was also being very consistent. I was giving myself something that I could live with. So I could live with, okay, you have one free day. And then, so when she does decide to take that one free day, and then a day comes up where she's feeling really bad, I can tell her, remember, you had that one free day and you already used it. So we're going to do our best to use our support network. We're going to make sure that these different teachers that we have pointed out that are going to be supports for you are supports in this day, because you're going to really need that support, but you're going to school. So it feels really empowering to have plans, to have structure, to have commitment. And so that is what I want to continue. I want to continue that throughout reading with my son, encouraging my daughter, letting her know that she has the strength and the support. That's the most important, the support to get through hard days, so that she doesn't, so that she can expand that strategy that she has for dealing with things when it gets too overwhelming, so that shutting down is not the only strategy she uses. So those are the things that I'm thinking about that I would like to continue and to have throughout the school year.
And what do you foresee to be the challenges of those continuing?
Life, life gets in the way. Getting home late, being too tired, that kind of thing. Resistance from both kids, kids will resist things. But just being able to hold my ground, I think that's the main thing. The structure is in place. It's just maintaining it. And in the past, what's happened is forgetting, not doing it one day and then the next day, and then it just turns into not doing it all. So yeah, that's a challenge I foresee, is complacency and life getting in the way.
And what are the conditions that might support you throughout the semester with those challenges?
I think the most important thing with both of my children is just remembering the why, why I'm doing what I'm doing. With my daughter, I think it's really important to work on strengthening her resilience, because it's continues to be a challenge. These things that she's facing right now in her second year of high school is only going to increase. And if she decides to go to college, it's going to be, she's going to need that self-discipline and that resilience. So that why would be, I want to be a part of building her resilience. I want to be a part of that. With my son, I just want him to improve his reading skills, so that when he is in fifth, sixth, and on that he is at grade level. And I really want him to have a satisfactory experience in learning. So far, so good. It, despite the fact that he's below grade level, he has not said, "I hate school." So I want to be sure to support him. I would love for him to turn to me one day and say, "Mom, I love reading," or, "Mom, I love going to school." That would be fantastic. That would be my why, is just maintaining that neutral, and hopefully creating space for a love of learning and a love of being in a learning environment for my son.
Yeah, so you're a supportive mom who really values academics. How does that feel to hear a reflective statement like that?
It feels good. I mean, it shows, like, kind of what I'm going for and my value, because it doesn't feel good when I go against that, when my behavior does not reflect that statement of being a supportive mom who values academics. Because it doesn't feel good when I kind of drop the ball and I kind of let my son, stay on on the screen or stay on the computer just a while longer, just because I want to avoid the conflict. But I think it's really important. I want my children to see that value. And it can't just be words, so that when they think of me and they think of like what I'm doing, they'd be like, yeah, my mom really cares about academics, or my mom really cares about me and supports me. That's what I want, my kids to think and feel when they're, thinking about me and what I do, so that they know that what I do is a reflection of the love I have for them, the respect I have for them, and also the value that I place in academics and learning. I wouldn't say so much academics, it's really learning, because that's a big value for me. And I'm constantly learning. I want them to see that learning is something that can really enhance and brighten your life and improve your life and your well-being. So if they see me learning and enjoying learning, then they can see, oh, that's something my mom really cares about. And then maybe through their own experience in learning, celebrating their wins, or if my son keeps reading the same book every night, and it's just, and he loves talking about the things that he learns. So just celebrating that and enjoying him enjoying reading, and also just having that interaction with him where he can see what I value, so that I'm embodying the things that I value. So that reflected back to me was a clarity. It gave me clarity on, yeah, that's what I value.
And what is a key takeaway that you want to take forward in the coming weeks? And I'm going to ask two questions, which is typically not a good idea in coaching,
That's all
just
right.
for time's sake. So, what do you want to take
Yeah.
forward, and what will help you do that?
Well, I definitely want to take forward that piece that you reflected back to me about being a supportive mom who values, I'll say, learning instead of academics. And I really want to kind of infuse that in what I do and how I interact with my kids. So going forward, I'm going to keep that in mind, and maybe even just write it down on a like cardstock or something, and put it in a visible place. This says, I'm a supportive mom who values learning. And then just look at it, and then when I'm feeling like, I just want to watch this next episode of this show that I'm watching, and it's like almost 9 o'clock or whatever, I want to remind myself that of who I am, and what I value. And I think if I have something visual, it's going to motivate me and remind me that this is something that I value and I enjoy. That's something that I want to say too, is I enjoy being a supportive mom who values learning. That is something that I can remind myself of. So that's definitely something that I will be doing in the next coming days and weeks. And I think that visual is going to really help me hold to that.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Is there anything else in like the next minute or two that you want to reflect or talk about?
No, I think that very succinct and very clear statement that you reflected back to me really sparked something in me. It really motivated me, and it solidified things for me. And it's something that I can really hold on to. It's tangible for me. And that was really powerful. So I would say that piece of this whole conversation has been really meaningful, and I have something to hold on to, and something that I can repeat back to myself. And I'll have it written down. So I think that is really going to make a difference going forward. And I see myself continuing this and maintaining this structure throughout, even when it gets hard and my kids have bad days or I have a bad day.
Yeah, I like that you acknowledge the bad days. I guess this is a segue into the rest of the podcast episode, but I think that's recognize that we all will have those and not to beat ourselves up for those, but just to keep gently moving along.
Yeah.
So, how was that session for you?
Just, it was so well paced. Like the pacing was perfect. It allowed me to, I appreciate you giving me the space at the beginning just to kind of lay it all out. And then just you reflecting back, as I said in the session, it was so powerful and meaningful. And I think it just really zoomed in on exactly what was important to me in life and in, in my
Yeah.
relationship with my kids. And, it was really great to hear that. So I thought we were able to get to the heart of the matter quite quickly, which is a testament to your expert coaching. Just really well done. Well done. Someone has more practice than
No,
me,
I would not say that at
I
all.
would say. Well, yeah, you're working with clients. I'm not. So it's
But
much,
that's been very
but
generous because I feel like even in a 15-minute coaching session, like the one that you just did where you did this live, it was so good. Like I feel renewed. I feel like I'm going to stick on this goal. It's going to work well. And I have the tools and the partner, like the thought partner like you to help me with it when I get stuck too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a reflection of coaching and how powerful it can be. One, having a thought partner is great. And also had that reflection piece too. I think that showed up in both of our sessions, the reflecting back. I think when you hear from another person, or even if you record yourself and you listen back, you will hear things and you will see things differently. That's the thing. When you reflected back what you observed about what I was saying in such a succinct and clear way, it was like this shining light. It was like the heavens opened up and the angels sang kind of thing. It was a eureka moment.
They can't have me.
But those things happen when you are co-creating. And I think it's really an example of how the coaching process can reveal things that you may not be aware of just by voicing it and having someone else react or respond more precisely respond to what you're saying. Like what I noticed in your session, Erin, was that you brought out something that was not on the surface, and it came out, it emerged. It was the self-acceptance piece,
Yeah.
which just emerged. And that's the thing, that's the
Well,
beauty and the
emerged.
magic.
Yeah, that was key. And it emerged because of the questions that you asked and the way you facilitated the session. So I think that's a key part of that too. But you're right, like under all of the underlying pieces to this running, there is this level of self-acceptance at some point that I'm gonna have to meet. I'm just gonna have to be okay with who I am. Or whatever. That's a whole nother coaching topic, but yes. It clearly brought out the underlying values and challenges. And that's what coaching is so wonderful about.
Yeah. And then and then another thing that really comes out as well is that often we start with a question, or we start with, a problem that we're looking at, and we're solution focused, so we're looking at the solution. And often in that exploration in the coaching space, something else emerges that is deeper and more meaningful than what you started with. And that's one of the most beautiful things I think about coaching. And I think this line of that we're going on, this vein that we're in this conversation, is really a great segue into the coaching nugget of wisdom. And I would say that the coaching nugget of wisdom that I am coming up with, that's really that I feel inspired to share with our listeners, is to I want to say experience coaching, or experience reflect self-reflection. You don't have to necessarily have a thought partner like a coach or a therapist or someone. Not everyone has that available, but just recording yourself, writing it down and reading it again, those are great ways for us to see things that we may not be able to like observe unless we're reading it or listening to it. So I want to encourage our listeners to create space where they can either speak with a friend that they trust and that, will be able to reflect back certain things to them, or just, have them say, "I hear you saying," that kind of thing, or record yourself or write it down. How about you,
I
Erin?
love all those, LaShawn. Thank you so much for sharing those and for pointing out that, it's not only just with the coach or a therapist, you can record or do this with friends. So I love what you said. I think for me, the gentle part of the process is key, especially more in my line of work with grievers. But the coaching nugget of wisdom I have in that is, as you listen to yourself, try to stay curious and less judgmental. We tend to be pretty harsh judges of ourselves. So listen as if you were your best friend listening, and really put that gentleness and care into yourself.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.